You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Friday, a Meet Friday at that. We'll check in with Kurt Warner, the Hall of Fame quarterback. He was on the call on Westwood One Radio last night and get his thoughts off Dak Prescott and Tom Brady. And was it a push-off by Chris Godwin on the game-winning drive? As soon as Brady got the ball and I went, he's got less than 2 minutes? Yeah, this is over. Question was, how far was the game-winning field goal going to be? But Brady, once again, you get him in those situations, and he usually does damage, as we've seen throughout his Hall of Fame career. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. This weekend, we can expect sports to be a focal point of the nation as we mark the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And of course, nothing about that terrible day is a sports story, but sports played a really significant role in the nation, bringing us back together. And there was a lot of debate on when should the sports come back. And when they did, the games captured the spirit of the country. And I remember President George W. Bush throwing out the first pitch at the World Series in New York. Everybody cheered. Teams and players honored the heroes who tried to help people that day on 9/11. And fans were given the chance to remember and cheer. Like, we just wanted to get back together and cheer and have something positive. The Mets and Yankees will play on Sunday with NYPD and NYFD written on their uniforms. NFL teams will present video tributes before the games. And I know games don't matter with such an important date, but they really do because they were a really important part of helping the nation heal on one of the saddest days in our history. Joe Torre, the Hall of Famer, MLB special assistant to the commissioner, and won 4 World Series titles with the Yankees, and he was there that night, and Joe joins us now. Joe, thanks for joining us. What do you think about when you think about that night?
Just horrible. I mean, I got numb. And, you know, it's still when I think back, and you're never going to forget, you never want to forget. But, you know, there were a couple of different emotions. I mean, you were scared, you were mad, and just 9/11 was such a tough day. I didn't even have the TV on because I was scheduled to do a charity luncheon that day, and I was just getting myself ready in my bedroom, and car service called me and said, well, I guess it's canceled. I said, what are you talking about? And then turned on the TV and saw what was happening like everybody else. And, you know, really baseball went on the back burner for me, to be honest with you, Dan, because what was happening right then was just something that never thought you'd ever see.
And then when baseball came back, what were your emotions?
Well, you know, you had some time to think about it, and I'll tell you what really moved me off the fact that, you know, all we do is play a game was on the Saturday after 9/11. We were in New York. We hadn't started baseball yet as far as games. And it was decided that we're going to start, get it cranked up again on Monday. So we were going to be on the road. So Saturday, I had a workout for whoever was left in New York, because a lot of my players got in the car and drove home. I know Pettit and Clemens drove back to Texas together. And, you know, so we were going to have a workout at Yankee Stadium on that Saturday. And then afterwards, you know, we had a good number of players and some coaches. We got in vans and went to Ground Zero. We started out actually at the Javits Center, where it was the staging area where all those first responders and firefighters from all over the country were, you know, basically living. You know, they were sleeping there and eating there and just taking their turns going back to the towers to see if they could rescue. And then you realize, over time, it was just going to be a recovery. And and then we went from the Javits Center we went to St. Francis Hospital with hopes of, you know, that we could visit some victims, but there were no victims there. The only ones that were there were, again, firefighters who had smoke inhalation issues. And from St. Francis, we went to the armory. Now, I was a little hesitant. I was a little sensitive about going to the armory because this is where the family members were waiting to hear, get DNA results from, you know, from their loved ones. And so we finally realized that we should go in. We did go in. Those people were separated. At the floor of the armory was completely filled, and it had, you know, like low partitions separating the families and groups of people. Counselors and clergymen were there, and this one family, we were walking around the perimeter. And this one family sort of signaled us to come on over, and we walked over toward this this family. And Bernie Williams said to this woman, he says, "I don't know what to say to you." He says, "But you look like you need a hug." And with that, he grabbed her and hugged her, and it sort of loosened up everybody else. They started coming toward us and bringing pictures. This is what was so powerful to me, Dan, was they were bringing pictures of their loved ones wearing Yankee, you know, jerseys and caps and jackets, and saying what a big fan he was or she was. And it was at that point that I realized that, you know, even though all we did was play a game, it was a game that people really needed to have at that point in time as to sort of get in the way of the horror they've been going through.
And at the time, I don't know if you feel like you're helping, but you're also intruding at the same time.
Dan, there was no question. That was the hesitancy I had, that we were intruding on their private, you know, serious time and sad time. And really, that's when, you know, someone had gone in. Randy Levine, who was our president, ran in, and he waved us in about 5 minutes later. And they wanted us in there because I can't tell you how long we spent there, but we spent a good deal of time, and people were looking for and distraction. I don't think is a strong enough word, but they wanted somebody to get in the way of what they were dealing with.
What was that moment like when President Bush went out there and threw the first pitch?
Well, you know, we had just lost the first two games in Arizona to the Diamondbacks. So this is our first game at home. And, you know, it's interesting. You always have a meeting because there was a curiosity whether he was going to be there or not. They never definitively said he was coming, but, which you can understand. But both managers and general managers always go in the umpire's room about an hour or so before the game to have a meeting with, you know, with the umpires just to go over the local ground rules and stuff. Now, we had this meeting in Arizona, but this is the first game in New York. And you go around and, you know, you shake everybody's hand, you shake all the umpires' hands, and all of a sudden there was an umpire you didn't recognize. And you realized it was a Secret Service man.
In an umpire's uniform.
In an umpire's uniform. And when President Bush threw the first pitch, he was standing around home plate with all the other umpires. And but when President Bush came through the runway, you know, into the dugout, I met him at the mouth of the runway, and he said to me, he says, "You're going to kick their butts?" I said, "We're going to try." And with that, he just, you know, crisply went up the steps and out to the mound, waved to the fans, and had a very determined look of going right to the top of the mound, which you come to find out later on that Derek Jeter sort of dared him because he was telling him all the bad things that New York fans will do to you if you don't get on top of the mound. So, and by the way, President Bush, you better not bounce it. So wow. All that. And you know, I was at an event with the former president a couple of years ago. And he was telling that story to the people he was speaking to. It was really funny that Derek basically threatened him, you know, but he went out there and I'll be darned if he doesn't throw a strike right there.
And, you know, here's Jeter adding levity to a serious moment because, you know, I was told that the president may have had, you know, a bulletproof vest on. Is that right?
He did have that. And Derek warmed up with him in the batting cage underneath the stands. And, you know, because that's the one thing he didn't want to do is bounce it. He wanted to show strength and he felt that was a part of it. And of course, Derek, you know, he's got that sort of dry sense of humor. Because of, you know, everybody should be as comfortable in their skin as Derek Jeter. And as I say, the president, you know, obviously took it the way Derek meant it. And, you know, he was pumped. I mean, he felt, again, that he needed to show strength. And he went out there and certainly answered the bell.
Coming up tomorrow, it'll be at Citi Field where Bobby Valentine will throw out the ceremonial first pitch with you. Are you going to the top of the mound, though, Joe?
No, well, I hope not. And if Bobby Valentine is going to the top of the mound, that may be the first fight we have tomorrow night. Because I'm, you know, my heart would be in the right place, but I'm not sure the ball would be in the right place. So we're probably going to cut it in half.
Did you ever yell at Jeter?
I did yell at Jeter, but
for what?
There was a play that well, spring training, actually his first spring, you know, where he didn't cover second base. He likes to tell the story. Where, you know, he didn't cover second base on a play. It would have been the third out of an inning, and he assumed they were going to throw it to first, and he didn't cover second. And, you know, he came in and got on deck and stuff, and I just told him to get his head out of, you know what, and, you know, get with it. And I even forgot that whole thing. He had to remind me. But there was a time also in Chicago where he tried to steal third base with Cecil Fielder hitting, and we were one run behind and two out in the eighth inning. And I threw some stuff in the dugout, which thank goodness nobody videoed. But when he came in, I remember saying to Don Zimmer, I said, I won't talk to him because this was his rookie year. I said, I'm not going to talk to him until tomorrow. I just don't want to distract him. We're trying to win a game. And with that, after the half inning was over, he came into the dugout and he wedged himself right between Zimmer and myself. He just come over to take his lumps. You know, that was it. So I hit him in the back of the head. I said, get out of here, because that told me he knew that he screwed up. But he was a gamer. He came to work every day and he knew that he was just one of the guys and really earned a lot of respect from the veterans that first year, which is very surprising for a young player.
How's the arm? I mean, you played third base and you were a catcher. You how's the hose? Can you still get it there?
Well, I had rotator cuff surgery since then, which should make it better. But I may be able to throw it, Dan, but I'm not sure exactly what direction it will go.
Didn't you once – what was the batting average? 363?
363, yes.
And you weren't exactly, you know, fast.
Like no, I didn't get many of those hits, right? It was a magical year, don't ask me, but it was a special time. And
363 though. I mean,
yeah, I had 230 hits. It was crazy.
I also have you for 23 stolen bases. In 18 seasons.
Not bad. you know, I tried to steal once in every part of the country. This way it would be a shock. I remember Tom Seaver was on the mound one night and I'm going, you know, and the only time I would try to steal was like if it was two strikes on the hitter, you know, stuff like that, where he'd get a free count next inning. And Tom Seaver would always come to a set position and look over to first base and then would pitch. So he did that, and he looked over to first base, and when he went back to, looked toward home, I took off, and then he looked back over there, and he still threw home, figuring I'm not going to make it anyway. So, I 23 stolen bases, that may have been inflated. Let's see what happens.
Thanks again for reminiscing, and have fun with Bobby Valentine tomorrow and this weekend, Joe. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Dan. Same here.
That's Joe Torre, Hall of Famer and Major League Baseball Special Assistant to the Commissioner. It'll be the Yankees and Mets at Citi Field tomorrow night. Bobby Valentine, who was the Mets manager back following 9/11, and Joe Torre, the ceremonial first pitches. I did not know about the umpire, Secret Service umpire. Because you don't think about that. When the president's going out there, you're noticing the president. Well, the Secret Service's job is not to be noticed as Secret Service. And he's in a full umpire outfit. Yeah, that's one of those nights where you rooted for everybody. It was just this wave of emotion where it just was hitting you. And you're like, wow. Because sports can play that role. Sometimes we ask it to play, a different role or more of a role, that sports is a distraction. But that night, it felt like we needed sports to bring us all back together. Pretty emotional moment. All right, we'll take a break. And we'll get to phone calls this final hour. It's a Meat Friday, in case you're living vicariously through our Traeger grills. Smoked pork ribs and sausage chili will be coming off the grill in about a half hour from now. Take a break. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer. He was working the game last night. Get his thoughts on who he thought had a better night. Did Chris Godwin get away with the push-off? And if you're a Cowboy fan, how do you feel after last night's moral victory? Back after this. The Traeger Grill is all fired up, as I told you. It's it's always great when you come in around 7, 7:15, and the grills are already on. And you know it's going to be a great day. And then all of a sudden, Tyler, who is the moderator for Chat Row and also does the cooking here, he's got the spare ribs out. He's making chili. He says he's never made the recipe before. And somehow it all works out. But I think, the Traeger grill is really the MVP. The Traeger makes everything taste better. Plus, the shadow of Chad from Traeger, the champion barbecue griller, he was in last week, and Tyler had to step up his game, and he has. Traeger has 6-in-1 versatility. That means you can smoke, bake, roast, braise, barbecue all in one grill. We even had old fashions that were Traeger-infused. That was last week. You get the Wi-Fi technology. You can control your grill right from your smartphone using the Traeger app. They've thought of everything. You need to think of a Traeger grill. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. A couple of phone calls in here. This Sunday, Khalil Mack and the Bears head to L.A. to face Aaron Donald and the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Opening weekend continues Sunday 7 Eastern, NBC and Peacock. Greg in Phoenix joins us on the program as we wait for Kurt Warner to stop by. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. To piggyback on the previous caller's call about you giving out your advice, a couple of years ago, I have been listening to my daughter as she goes to bed at night and just listening. And at 13 years old, there's a whole lot of listening going on.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you for that. But the call is a limerick for Jimmy Jimerson to start the football season.
Oh, a Jimmy Jimerson limerick. Okay. All right. Here is Greg in Phoenix.
Schefter, Glazer, and Rappaport have nothing on me. I broke the story that field goals count for three. The National Football League is set to begin, and National Football League teams will try to win. Look, got to go. Florio's on the call. I have to tell him that teams, to a man, are going to give it their all.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg. A Jimmy Jimerson limerick. How does Jimmy Jimerson feel about that limerick?
Thumbs up. That's just good stuff right there.
All right. Well, thank you, Jimmy. To a man, we think that was pretty good. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, works for the NFL Network and Westwood One. He was on the call last night. Of course, the Super Bowl MVP a couple of times. Kurt handled the color commentary at Cowboys-Packers last night with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. What did you think was going to happen last night, Kurt?
Not what I saw. I mean, I felt like the champs were going to come out, and I don't want to say dominate, because I felt like the Cowboys would be better this year. But I expected it to be close to a double-digit win. I expected it to be not hanging in the balance like it was. And, you know, credit to the Cowboys, credit to Dak, credit to the game plan. I mean, I think they did a lot of good things. Bucks didn't look as good as I think we all expected them to look. Coming back with all the starters, you expected them to pick up where they left off. They were a little, they were all over the place.
If you're a Cowboys fan today, how do you feel?
I think you feel pretty good. You know, moral victories, we always talk about them or say that that's not really a thing in the NFL because it's about winning football games. But I just said what I expected to happen last night, and the Cowboys took them down to the wire. The Cowboys had opportunities. They made some mistakes. Otherwise, man, they could have been had this game in hand a lot earlier. But I think the biggest thing is Dak Prescott. You know, you're coming back from the injury. We wondered what we were going to get. You just signed him to the big deal. You know, some people were still wondering, is he a franchise guy? Can he carry this team with his right arm? He answered all of those questions last night. You know, I think what they can be, what they want to be, that they want to be a throw-first team, which is what the NFL has gone to. And Dak showed them, we can do this. And the defense stepped up and made some plays when they needed to. Still, I don't know if it's a championship defense yet, but if you've got an offense that can play like that and Dak plays like that consistently, they're going to surprise a lot of people and they're going to win a lot of football games this year. So I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you're excited today going, yeah, we went toe-to-toe with the champs and probably should have won that football game. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
All right, more concerned lack of a running game or the lack of pressure on Tom Brady?
I'm going to probably say pressure. You know, the lack of running game, you know, worries me a little bit. You want to be able to run it, especially because that's what their identity was the last couple of years. But what we saw last night is what a lot of teams are starting to do now, is that it's running back by committee, and a big part of their run game is the quick little wide receiver screens, bubble screens that you throw to guys. That's become the nature of our league. And so everybody's doing that stuff. So I expect Dallas to do a lot more of that. Maybe not the typical hand it off to Zeke, you know, and run between the tackles. But yeah, my concern is that, again, when you play good teams and good quarterbacks, you have to get consistent pressure. And last night, it was almost like non-existent. You know, Tom Brady, we all know how great he is, and the offensive line is really, really good. But there was just no consistent pressure. And in critical situations, when you know they have to throw, you've got to have some guys that can do that. And they did not, and that's been kind of a theme over the last couple of years, even with Tank Lawrence and some of those guys up front, that you expect to be able to be more consistent in that area. So that, to me, is probably the biggest concern.
With Tom Brady, he doesn't have athleticism to lose. I think we're waiting to see if his arm strength is still there. And as a former quarterback, how would you assess Tom Brady's arm strength yesterday, last night?
I mean, to me, there's no issue there. And, you know, it's really what do you look at? Because I know a lot of people look at arm strength and they say, how far can you throw it? Well, okay, if that's what your, you know, barometer is, we have the Hail Mary at the end of the half where he throws it a good 60 yards, launches it up in the air, no problem. You barely need to throw it more than 60 yards in a game at any point in time. But to me, when I look at arm strength, I look at the ability to, you know, throw from A to B. And I always use the term firm but soft. You know, the ability to put enough on the ball that it gets there quickly, but also the touch to put it where it needs to be and make it available for your receivers. And we saw that over and over and over again last night with Tom Brady. He can throw the go route, and he can throw those balls down the field, a touchdown to AB, no issues with how far he can throw it. But to me, it's the other stuff, is that there's zip on the ball. The ball's getting there when it needs to get there. So, I mean, I know we continue to talk about it, Dan, and I'm with you, is that he plays the game a certain way, and he always has. That isn't just going to fall off a shelf, and all of a sudden he can't play with his mind and he can't play with timing. And I believe he's always going to have enough arm strength to be able to play this game as long as he's got that power behind it. And so to me, he looked as good as ever last night. And, you know, it's just, I know we're all amazed by it, but I just expect it every time now is that he keeps himself in great shape. And you see that every time he steps on the field.
But explain to us that window that you have and how quickly that window closes when you're back there trying to process all of this and you can see something, but you got to make it happen. Explain that process in your mind.
Well, I mean, the process, the idea is just knowing ahead of time what you're going to do. And, you know, that is the difference between guys like Tom Brady and these young guys that are extremely talented and they have these unbelievable arms. They do all of this stuff. Tom Brady can process and see things beforehand, know and have a really good idea on what he's going to do after the snap. And that's the whole game, and especially when you get older, is that it's about being able to know, okay, I know what I'm going to get here. All I've got to do is peek this guy. If he turns his shoulders that way, I'm throwing it out here. If he turns his shoulders this way, I'm throwing it back inside. And a guy like Tom Brady, watching him process that information and know, you know, we always talk about this with quarterbacks, right? You're not going to show Tom Brady something he hasn't seen before. Well, that's just a relative term because it all comes down to what you see in that moment. But he's so good at knowing, who do I look at? What defender do I read on this particular play? And if you can simplify the game, and you don't have to know where 11 guys are at all times. You need to know where one or two guys are at all times. And if you know which one or two guys that is on a play, it makes the game easier and you can just process and get to the guy that you want to. And Tom Brady, again, is, you know, he's the best at a lot of different things. But he's the best in the business at being able to see those things and process them so quickly so he can do the right thing with the football.
You were 28, I think, when you made your first NFL start.
Yes, sir.
Now, Zach Wilson's 21. What would you have been like at 21 in the NFL as opposed to 28?
I don't know. You know, and I look at Zach Wilson because, you know, Zach Wilson, I guess, played a couple years in college. I played 1 year in college when I was on the field playing as a full-time starter. And I realized from the time I was, you know, that age or maybe even a little older when I graduated to the time I came back in the NFL, how much football I learned, you know, how much I grew, how much situational stuff playing arena football and in Europe I got to experience that I hadn't experienced that 1 year playing ball. Yeah, I played well. Zach Wilson played great, you know, last year. But there's so many things that you think you have to grow through and you have to understand. And so, you know, these guys are ahead of the game. They do all the 7-on-7s and they throw the ball a lot more and see a lot more situations. But that to me is what you look for with a young guy is how do they handle all these things that are going to be thrown at them, you know, not the least of it is being an NFL starting quarterback in New York and the scrutiny and pressure and expectation that comes with that. So I don't know if I would have been very good when I was 21 years old. I'm fortunate that I got seasoned a little bit through that time. And when I got to be 28, I was much more mature in who I was as a player and who I was as a person to be able to deal with all the stuff that comes with it.
We're talking to Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst. He was on the call on Westwood One last night with Kevin Harlan. Yeah, trying to understand these quarterbacks, and I know that they grew up in a different era as far as being acclimated to five wide when you're in high school, calling your own plays at the, you know, line of scrimmage, private coaches, all of these things. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence is on a team that's not very good. Whereas Mac Jones is on a team that I think will be a playoff team. The difference in those two situations is what? The biggest part of that is bad team quarterback, good team rookie quarterback.
I think the biggest challenge is not feeling like you have to do everything. Is if you're in a situation like Mac Jones and you say to yourself, man, we can run the ball or we can scheme guys or our defense. We know Bill Belichick is always going to have a good defense and not allow a bunch of points each and every game. It helps you to settle in and go, okay, I know there's expectations because I was a number one draft pick or the number one overall pick, but I don't have to do everything on my own. And that's going to, you know, implement itself. You're going to see that play out. You know, if you're Trevor Lawrence coming in and you don't have that defense and you're the number one pick and everybody expects you to be, you know, you hear all these things, oh, he's the best prospect since Peyton Manning or these things that you hear. and now your team's not very good, and you're expected to win and make a difference, I think it's so much easier to start pressing and going, okay, I got to make every throw. I've got to do everything for this team. I can't ever throw the ball away. I've got to run around and make these special plays to be a difference maker for my team. And oftentimes that can take you in the wrong direction, especially if you're not made up the right way, where you're going to go through lumps and you're going to throw a bunch of interceptions because you're trying to do too much. So that's something I'm always watching with every rookie quarterback, but specifically in situations where a guy is drafted that high and the team around him isn't that good, yet the expectation is for that young man to come in and make an immediate difference no matter who's around him.
It's great to talk to you. I know you had a busy schedule getting back home, and we appreciate you joining us, Kurt. Thank you.
You got it, Dan. We'll talk soon.
That's Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, joining us on behalf of the NFL Network and Westwood One. By the way, Tom Brady is now 15-4 all-time in Week 1. That's the most wins during the NFL's opening weekend during the Super Bowl era. So that's back in 1966. And Tom Brady has never lost to the Cowboys. TB12 is 6-0. Yeah, Paul.
Once in a while, I'll say Nick Foles has the weirdest career. Kurt Warner's got the weirdest career.
It's up there.
Barely playing 1 year of college, NFL, then the Barnstormers of the Arena League, then NFL Europe, where he shares time with Jake Delhomme. Then he gets a job in St. Louis at age 28 in 1999. Trent Green was the big money guy.
Yeah, and you wonder, I mean, this is what happens. Tom Brady gets the chance because Drew Bledsoe gets hurt. Trent Green goes down, Kurt Warner gets the chance. You wonder, you know, the history of the NFL and how it would have been rewritten with some of these moments here. Yeah, Paul.
Remember Kurt about 10 years ago told us a story. He was scheduled to have a meeting with Chicago, the Chicago Bears, and he got a spider bite on a camping trip, and he switched the order and went and saw the Rams and then was going to go see the Bears.
Yeah.
Which he obviously couldn't have succeeded as a quarterback with the Bears because that doesn't happen.
Jacob in Nevada joins us. Hey, Jake, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener. 6'4", about 185.
Where are you right now, Jacob?
Me? I am actually the biggest gold mine in America, but it's in Nevada by Elko.
Wait, you're in a gold mine?
Yeah, the biggest gold mine in the U.S.
And what are you doing in the gold mine?
Me, I change out the uniforms for the guys.
Oh. Well, you could wait till you get out of the gold mine to call us.
No, it's my birthday. I got in on my birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, what's on your mind today, Jacob? Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to say I knew Tom Brady wasn't losing that game last night when I seen him shoulder check a dude half his age running full speed at him.
All right.
Did you see that clip?
Yeah.
Tom Brady's shoulder check the dude.
Yeah, I saw.
A dude you know that's 44 years old, shoulder checking dude half your age.
All right. Well, thank you, Jacob. Happy birthday and good luck in the gold mine. He's changing out the uniforms of those. I did see that little shoulder push that Brady had against this young defensive back. I was like, what are you doing, Tom? He wanted to make contact, and he knew that the Dallas defense wasn't going to make contact with him. So
Brady's always been a guy. He really plays off contact. He feeds off that.
Is that what it
thing.
Is?
Yeah. Josh Allen.
Yeah, Paul.
I didn't see the clip until you mentioned it. There's an interception run back, and Brady, the play is just over, and he gives this kid a little shoulder check. Then he does the turn and walk away. And number six for the Cowboys is yelling something.
Oh, I know. It's official. Pac-12 has extended membership invitations to Cincinnati, Houston, Central Florida, and BYU. The Big 12. The Big 12. Bigger 12. Biggest 12. Sort of Big 12. Is it 12? Yes, McLovin.
That sounds very Conference USA.
Yes, it does.
I don't think that exists anymore, right?
I have no idea anymore.
Yeah, it's so hard to keep track of.
The fact that we're not sure probably tells you that it probably doesn't exist. All right. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store on Monday. And if you're watching on Peacock, we will unveil the smoked pork spare ribs and sausage chili coming off the Traeger after this. After the show today, may go golfing. You know what I do before I go golf? I use the Level Select CBD roll-on after I play golf. use the Level Select CBD roll-on. What I get is instant relief. It's all about sore muscles, post-workout discomfort, and it pops up in new spots all the time as you get older. Carson Palmer's the first one to tell me about this, and he spent 15 years in the NFL, 7 surgeries, so I thought, all right, I'll give it a go. And he said he just wants to be able to be comfortable keeping up with his kids in retirement. I trust Level Select CBD because it's formulated with doctors. That high concentration of CBD allows me to feel it work immediately. And it's made with 0% THC. I apply the Level Select Sports Creams directly to the sore spots, and then you let that proprietary blend of CBD go to work, and it will work immediately. Use the promo code DP30, $30 off your entire order today. $30 off levelselectcbd.com with the promo code DP30. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Close up shop as we always do on Friday, Arcade Fire, to the memory of the great actor Michael K. Williams, Omar in The Wire. Omar coming. It's a meat Friday, and the Traeger Wood Pellet Grill has done it again, offering real wood-fired flavor. The set-it-and-forget-it convenience. You can actually control your grill from your smartphone. I could be sitting here at my desk and control the Traeger grill. Traeger offers the perfect way to cook all season long. Grab one at your local dealer. Visit TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Final results of the poll question. We'll get some phone calls in here. The former Heisman Trophy winner, Carson Palmer. Is he a former Heisman Trophy winner, or is he just a Heisman Trophy winner?
I guess you could just say he's a Heisman Trophy winner. But once upon a time, he was handed the Heisman Trophy.
Okay. So just he's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, he's among those that have won the Heisman.
Okay. Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
A former USC quarterback, would we say that that's...
That would make more sense to use the word former.
Former
there.
NFL quarterback.
That would make sense, too.
Heisman Trophy
and Heisman
winner.
Trophy winner.
You got it all figured out.
Thank you, Todd. Final results of the poll question.
Which is more likely, Cowboys making the playoffs or Bucks making the Super Bowl? 71% Cowboys make the playoffs.
All right, this day in sports history. By the way, the veteran NFL referee Terry McCauley thought that Chris Godwin got away with an offensive pass interference last night. Mike Pereira, the Fox analyst, said he thought it could have gone either way. I didn't have a problem with it because it felt like Jordan Lewis was, you know, bodying Godwin as well, and maybe Godwin was reacting to Jordan Lewis. But, you know, it was an important play. If it was in Dallas, is it called differently? Perhaps. I was happy with the no call. Yeah, Paul.
Shouldn't Mike Pereira, as a rules official, not say it could have gone either way? He should either say it's not a foul or it is a foul, because that's what he's there for.
Yes, I don't like when he gives you the it could have gone either way. It's you have to put us in the moment that you're calling that play. You can't go, hey, I could have gone either way.
I love that he was on the fence like that. That's
unless,
how you do it.
Unless you say, look, I would have said no call, not like I can say it could have gone either way, but he has to make the call that I'm not going to call it. Yeah, Paul.
This started last year, and if you remember, it was like week 8 or 9 last year. We were talking about defensive backs flopping in the NFL and pushing their helmets back and flailing their arms. That's what this kid tried to do on Dallas, and it's going to be the thing this year.
Let's see. This day in sports history, I'll get to that. Let me get to Ryan in Honolulu is going to join us. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, Dan. I encourage everyone to check out 1215 Club today with the Backroom Guys and all the podcasts on danpatrick.com.
Thank you, Ryan.
I've got some Bucks versus Cowboys mock headlines for you.
Oh, mock headlines. Okay. Here's Ryan in Honolulu.
Stop the Prescotts! Dak is back! Cowboys kicker needs to stay in his Zerline.
It's Zerline.
All right.
But it's okay.
Wink at that.
All right.
No pass interference. Thank Godwin, the ref, is no pushover.
Okay.
Vita says, get out of my Vea. Samoan the move off.
All right.
Do you know that Vita Vea didn't have a sack, a tackle, and he had no stats? But you could make a case that he was dominating last night. Sorry to interrupt your flow there, Ryan.
No, that's fine, Dan. I'm Rongan. He's Tongan. Last one is... Oh, no, I'm not going to do a polly. I'm out. Aloha.
Oh, how about that? I like that. Todd, take note.
He didn't feel good about that last one. He got out on a good note.
Out. Yeah, smart. I like it. I like it. Blake in Nevada. Hey, Blake, what's on your mind?
DP, so you guys know what John Gruden said to Jimmy Jimerson about the 2020 NFL draft at quarterback? Who he liked?
No.
Tua, man.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Blake.
Oh, okay.
To a man.
All right. To a man.
I like that. Well done, Blake.
I'm into it.
All right. I like that. Yeah. This day in sports history, Paulie Esther.
Got a few. Mickey Mantle hit his 400th home run, 1961. 1972, Gale Sayers of the Chicago Bears retired from the NFL. 1975, Lou Brock stole his 105th base of the season, which was a record. And 1988, Steffi Graf got the Grand Slam, the first time since Margaret Court. Very tennis name, Margaret Court, in 1970.
But that home run that Mickey Mantle hit, he hit it out of Detroit Stadium.
Right.
Hit it over the right field roof. And they estimated it went 600 feet. Also on this day, 5 days before hitting a home run for the Yankees, Deion Sanders returned to punt 68 yards for his first NFL touchdown. Randy in Texas. Hi, Randy. What's on your mind today? Thank you. Thank you, Randy. I don't know if that's Sour Shoes or not from the Howard Stern Show, but if it was, sorry, Sour. We love when he calls. Yes, McLovin.
I don't know the show as well, but I get an adrenaline rush when I think it might be Sour Shoes.
Yeah.
About once every couple months.
Let's don't encourage him. I don't want to discourage him, but if Sour Shoes calls up and does his Mike Francesa or Chris Russo impersonation, or Gary Delabate, Baba Booey, Buffa Fooey. Anything else that needs to be mentioned on this award-nominated program?
Kind of a light college football weekend.
Ooh.
You got early. Got to get up early on the West Coast. Oregon, Ohio State at noon Eastern. 9 Pacific.
And that's the best game of the day?
Matchup-wise. But the one you should not sleep on, and I know you won't be, Seton's Iowa State team hosting my Iowa Hawkeyes.
That's a toss-up. That's a toss-up.
Ames is going to be out of hand this weekend. Game day's there.
Brocktober.
Yep. Yeah. I love it.
Let's go.
You've been on that quarterback for how many years, Seton?
6.
It feels like that.
I got in early.
Yeah, you did.
I got in early. This is the year.
Yeah,
this is the year.
Let's. Do you have a 5-star pick, Paulie?
Watch out, Texas, Arkansas. Arkansas hasn't been relevant in a while. Texas at Arkansas.
Ooh.
Don't get bit.
Okay. Let's go around the room. What we learned. I'll start back left with Todd Fritz. Todd?
Tyler, the moderator, accidentally left the gas burner on, putting all of our lives in danger just for some ribs and chili.
McLovin.
Joe Torre tells a story where an umpire was really a Secret Service guy.
Seton O'Connor.
Paul appropriately used more youngerer today.
More youngerer. Paulie?
Kurt Warner was a 28-year-old rookie.
What we learned, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. The compact GLA proves it's not the size of the SUV. In the fight, it's the size of the fight in the SUV. Learn more about the nimble and ready for anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, all-around support. The 1215 podcast, I believe my wife is going to be the guest. What could go wrong? Oh, but wait, there's one more item, and it's important as we go into the weekend. Teams back out on the field, and it's week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, putting you in the middle of all the action for week two. New customers, you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit by signing up using promo code Patrick. Get in on all the action now. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before. Free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code Patrick. You're good to go. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code Patrick. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code Patrick, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. Good luck this weekend.